Luke 21st chapter, we'll start reading at verse number 25. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you today for your wonderful grace, your goodness, kindness to us. Thank you for the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. And thank you, Father, that today we can meet in this place and, Lord, hear something from your Word and, Lord, be encouraged and helped and warned and just, Lord, realizing through this the Word of God that the time is short, that Jesus is coming soon. We believe that. And so we ask you to stir our hearts to respond to that and do what we should do while we still have time left. Now, I thank you for all you've done for us. I ask you, Lord, to help this preacher this morning, give him power, give him wisdom, give him that which he needs from you. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Portion of scripture that I just read to you more than likely is scripture that is speaking about the time when Jesus comes back to this earth and reigns. He's talking about he comes in great power and multitudes of signs are going to precede that. As far as the rapture of the church, which you and I are waiting on, and I hope you understand concerning the rapture of the church, it's a time when Jesus probably soon will come and just lift us off. If you're a Christian, you're God's child, you'll be lifted up off of this earth, you'll be taken to heaven. It's what we call the rapture of the church. And right after the rapture of the church will be the tribulation period, which is 7 years of tribulation. Horrible, horrible times upon the face of this earth like we have never, ever seen before. I think everybody's been taken back just a little bit about this tragedy that happened over in the Indian Ocean. It's something that is just very, very tragic. They say there's probably 150,000 people dead, and that probably is not going to touch the number. They say there's multitudes in the sea that's probably don't even know how many. There's probably going to be more die, and others that's unaccountable for. And what I'm saying is it's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing as far as human tragedy is concerned. They say also, I read in the paper, that they know at least a third of all of those were children. At least a third. It may be more than that. I mean, it may be more than that. They say anywhere between a third to a half is probably children. So you're talking about 50,000 children died in this. That's a tragedy. I think everybody feels that way. I've told my wife many times, I just love to see children. Around our church, I just love to see children. They lift my heart. They really do. I can sit up here and look out and see these precious children, and I just, my heart just leaps, because there's something special, just something special about children. I don't know whether you feel that way or not, but I do. This preacher does. And so to think that 50,000 children died in that tragedy is really just awesome to me. The grief that came because of that tragedy is just unimaginable. I can't imagine the families and the grief that it won't be just for a few days, but it'll go on probably for the rest of their life. But they're grieving terribly because of this great tragedy, this great destruction of life over there around the Indian Ocean. And that grieving, like I said, will continue and continue and continue. And even I think we as Americans are grieving over it, although we're maybe not involved in it. There's a grief that goes on because of it. And it's interesting that there was absolutely no warning to it. None whatsoever. I seen that on the western shore of the United States in the Pacific Ocean, they have a warning system for a tsunami. They've got these things that go down on the floor of the ocean. They buried them or dropped them to the floor of the ocean. And as a tsunami passes over that, they send up a signal that there is one coming, and it goes up to buoys, which sends the information to other places, and they can get the word out. Now, they don't have a lot of time. They travel anywhere around 500 miles per hour. They can travel that fast. That's moving fast. But they put them way out in the ocean, and if a tsunami passes over that, they're warned of that. On the Atlantic coast, we do not have any warning whatsoever on the Atlantic. Now, over in the Indian Ocean, they had absolutely no warnings whatsoever. None. It just came. They say now they're figuring on putting a warning system in around the Indian Ocean within the next year. Now, I'm only going to say this, that's good that they're doing it, but it's too late for those that was just destroyed because of it. It's too late. And so anyway, these people were caught completely off guard. Down in Sri Lanka, I read the story in the paper about them down there, and along the coast there, a long distance of the coast, they said that they noticed that the waves were getting bigger. And so people went down to the shore area to watch the waves because they was coming in bigger than usual. And they didn't know what was going on. And so they came in, and in fact, it was fun to them. And there was thousands of children that joined in on this to come and see these big waves. And in fact, the waves was carrying fish up out of the sea and putting them onto the shore. And they was going out and picking up the fish so they could have them, and not knowing, not understanding that anything was going on, you see. And it said thousands of children moved down there, and then the big wave hit. And it was something, because in the story it says they were just having fun. And it said, in fact, as those waves brought those fish in, they was laughing and going out and getting the fish and just having a good time. Just having a good time. And then the wave hit. I'd like to say something to you this morning. Millions and millions and millions have not been warned about a place called hell. They have not been warned. They're like the little children. They're just running around United States and all of this world, all over this world, just having fun. Just having fun. And they've never been warned that there's a place called hell. There's a spiritual tsunami coming one of these days that's going to come and destroy multitudes and multitudes and multitudes. And it isn't going to be just life destroyed. It's going to be soul destroyed. And somewhere along the line, for some reason, churches all across this land is playing games. And they're not taking the time to warn those in their communities about the coming hell that's going to face them. It's awesome to me. These people had no warning whatsoever. They was completely caught off guard. And let me say to you, I believe the same thing is happening today, because I believe Christians are caught up in their worldly activities, their worldly fun. They're running out and getting the fish of this world and laughing and carrying on and looking around, not realizing that this thing is going to come very soon. Do you know the rapture of the church could come? If that rapture of the church comes, do you realize that everybody left is going to go into the tribulation period? It's going to be a horrible, terrible, terrible situation. I mean, everybody that is left is going to go into the tribulation period. And are we warning them? Are we warning them about a place called hell? We seem to have very little concern for souls today. Listen to me. Do you understand that the church is the warning system that God has set up for this old world? Do you understand that? Do you understand that's the warning system that God has set up to warn people about a place called hell? I mean, do you have an understanding of that? And the church is to go out and warn people and be set here as a lighthouse. But folks, it's not just the building, it's the people that's to go out and to warn people. Do you understand? My wife and I said yesterday, I think we came in early for the New Year's Eve services. And by the way, we had a great New Year's Eve services. Thank you for you being faithful and coming. Appreciate it, being here and doing right and being in your place. Thank you so much. But, you know, we walked in and she said, you know, I went into the church building and she said, you know, it's kind of cold in there. We didn't have the heat turned on. And she said, it's just an old building because the church hadn't got here yet. Wasn't long the church started coming in. And it's a different place. You understand? You see, this is a place set up. Yeah, it's a building set up. But folks, you can't look at this building and say the building is going to go out and warn the world. The building cannot go out and warn this world. It must be us. And we've been, and God has set the church, the people of the church, all across this land in every little village. You can't hardly drive anywhere in America you don't see a church. In fact, many times dozens of them. Just everywhere you look, there's churches. And God has set them up as a warning system. And multitudes of those churches are not warning anybody about the coming tragedy that's going to come. Boy, that's tragic. We say, boy, that was tragic over there, folks. This world hadn't seen tragedy yet. That's only a beginning. That's just a little bit of it. You see, and I believe something. I believe, according to the scriptures, for us not to warn about what's going on, not to warn a person that their soul is going to go and spend an eternity in a devil's hell, I believe what the scripture teaches is their blood is going to be on our hands. Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen well. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen, don't turn the preacher off. Listen to the Bible. You listen to what the Word of God says, and I want you to listen to what it says in Ezekiel 3. He says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquities, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Now listen to me. Did you hear what God said? God says, if you don't warn, the blood's going to be on your own on our hands. Do you hear that? Now who's that for? Is that for just some preacher somewhere? It's for every single Christian that's ever been born into the family of God. We are given the command to warn. And he says, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wicked way, nor from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So what he's saying is, if you warn him and he does not get saved, you know what? That's on his own hands. Are you hearing me? God says if we don't warn, he's going to hold us accountable. Wouldn't it have been a tragedy if there had been a warning system over in the Indian Ocean? Wouldn't that have been a warning system? And that, I mean, if they had been a warning system and then the warnings had come up and the people who was responsible to spread that would have just said, forget it. Wouldn't that have been a tragedy? We'd all been after him. We'd want to see them hung in the local square. And yet we can go day after day after day and never warn anybody. Good. About the coming tragedy that's going to come. You understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what this preacher's saying? Does it even stir your heart a little bit? I mean, just a little bit? Over in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, he says in verse number... verse number 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of my people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he bloweth the trumpet and warn the people, then whomsoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. You know, folks, once again, God says it in just a different way. He said, if you're here, if you're the one to blow the trumpet and warn, he said, if you do that and they don't listen to you, he said, it's not on your hands. But he said, if you don't blow the trumpet, if you don't warn, it's on our hands. Now, we've got a warning system that God has set up all across this world, and it's the local church. That's why Satan wants to destroy the local church. He'll do anything he can to destroy the local church, cause disruption in the local church. He does that so that we won't be the warning system that we're supposed to be. And he'll do anything he can, Satan will, to do that. You know, the word Satan means adversary. He is against us. You understand that? He's against the church, you see. But God has given the church the responsibility to blow the trumpet. We preachers are to blow the trumpet. But folks, it's not just talking about a preacher that gets up in his pulpit. It's about all of us. We're to blow the trumpet and warn. And if we don't, God says the blood's going to be on our hands. Now, does that do anything for you? I mean, does that shake you any whatsoever? Does that stir your heart whatsoever? I mean, you'll have to decide that. Are you just going to throw it over your shoulder and forget it and say it don't make any difference? Well, it will make a difference because God says it's going to be on our hands if we do not warn. Amen. There's a warning system, and the local church is that warning system. We come to the local church. We hear the preaching of the Word of God. We hear Sunday school teaching teach us. We read the Bible ourselves. We gather as a group of people, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. We go out from here with our tanks full, ready to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God expects you and I to do. Amen. We can't be on a list that says, no, everybody but you. No, that's for all of us. If Christians would do what we're supposed to do, every single one of us I'm talking about, you'd be surprised what would happen to this community right here in Jasonville, Indiana. Amen. You'd be surprised what God would do right here in Jasonville, Indiana if we'd all just get busy doing what we're supposed to do on a daily basis. Amen. Understand me? Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. I want to show you something over in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. You find chapter 6, and I want you to just look up here and listen to the preacher a minute. What I'm going to read to you, and I'm not going to read all of it to you because there's too much. But what I'm going to read to you is going to take place in a time which we call the tribulation period. We call it the tribulation period. It's after the rapture of the church. God's people who are truly born again will be lifted up off of this earth and taken to heaven to be with Jesus forevermore. Now, if you're a Bible believer, you believe that. You're looking forward to it. You're anxious about it. It comforts your heart to know that Jesus is coming again. Right after that, there will be no more opportunity, no more time for any of us to witness to anybody. It's all over. There'll be no more time for you to warn anybody whatsoever. You understand? If you have an uncle, an aunt, a mom, a dad, or a son or a daughter that's lost, you won't have any more opportunity once the rapture takes place to ever give them another witness about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, there won't be any time. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to quit trying to soothe your conscience. I mean, it's over. Okay? Now, there's not a person in here that can prove to me by the Bible that Jesus could not come today. He could come today. Now, what have we done? What have we done to prepare the people that we know and the community that we live in? What have we done to prepare them for that coming tragedy that's going to happen? Because the tribulation period, what's called the tribulation period, 7 years of it, is going to be the most horrible time that's ever took place upon the face of this earth. This over in the Indian Ocean is absolutely nothing. It's a Sunday school picnic compared to what's going to come on. You hear me? Now listen in chapter 6. This is the seals, the opening of the seals in the tribulation period. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard, as if it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." I believe verse 2 is speaking about the Antichrist, that he's going to first come in peace. He has a bow with no arrows. He's going to conquer. He's going to become the leadership, the world leader. He's called the Antichrist. I mean, you understand what anti means. He's against Christ. He's going to come first of all just to bring peace, supposedly. Secondly, happens in verse number 3, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out among another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon it, and to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." I do not know what that great sword is, but it seems to be some great weapon that he's been given to use. He's going to kill people in war. War is going to break loose all over this world. Now listen to me. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" What's going to follows war is famine. Over there now, if it wasn't for relief agencies, the United States and other countries that's stepping in and giving them food and water, they would all be starving to death today, because famine always finishes after disaster things like war or this we've seen here. It follows. And multitudes and multitudes are going to be killed. Now, I want you to listen to the number. I mean, we're up to 150,000 over there, supposedly maybe more than that, but 150,000. In verse number 7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell." Death is the death of the body. Hell is the death of the soul. Death comes and the soul goes to hell. Would you like to maybe take a guess on how many multitudes of that 150,000 are in hell today? Do you realize that Indonesia is the largest population of Muslims in the world? And the Muslim world is not saved. They do not trust Christ. It's not them, it's Hinduism, it's all of these other false religions over there. Can you imagine out of the 150,000, how many of them is right now crying out in hell? Because they was never warned. May not have received it if they had been warned, but they was never warned. Then you look, and here's what he says, "And power was given over them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth." You know what he said? All of this together, the war, the famine, and all that follows all of those things, diseases, and the beast of the field will be eating people and anything to them to stay alive. And all he said, one fourth of mankind will be destroyed and killed. If we went by today's numbers, and I'm just going to use even numbers, I know there's over 6 billion people on the face of this earth today. I know there's more than that, but it's around that area. If you would take one fourth of them today, you would have 1.5 billion people die. That is nothing in compared to 150,000. 1.5 billion people are going to die right here in these seal openings. Do you hear that? Okay? Now, look at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain in the for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our people, our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And he says, "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed, as they were, should be fulfilled." During the tribulation period, and even before the tribulation period, there's going to be multitudes and multitudes of God's children that's going to die because of their faith. Because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going to die. He shows them here. He says, "When are you going to avenge us?" He said, "Just give it time. When this is all done," he said, "we'll take care of those things," basically what he's saying. But he said, there's a bunch more that has to die. And we know the we know about the tribulation period. You couldn't even, there's times of time when they can't even buy food. They can't buy anything. They can't get anything unless they take the mark of the beast. And multitudes are going to be beheaded because they will not take the mark of the beast. Now, what I'm just saying to you, these are times that none of us can really imagine that's going to take place on the face of this earth. And what is needed today is a warning system that goes out all across this world, in every little community, in every hamlet, in every village, everywhere, every little town, every city. Warning system that goes out to tell people, you better get ready because the rapture is going to happen and you're going to be facing tribulation period. And if you die before that, you're going to go to hell forever. We need a warning system. And you know what mostly most churches are doing? Most churches are not do not have a warning system, period. And in many churches, it's like ours, we have a warning system, but it's very lightly attended. No real care. They're too caught up in the things of the world. And those things become the most important thing to them, the things of this world, not the souls of men. Now why? You think about it. One-fourth, one-quarter of mankind is going to die in this first seal openings. 1.5 billion if we go by the numbers that we have here. It's unbelievable. Listen in chapter... I could go in chapter 8. Let's just hit a little bit of there. Chapter 8. "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Out of the seventh seal came the seven trumpets." And he says, "And I saw the seven angels." Well, let's go down to verse 7. "And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire and mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." Listen, this preacher didn't write that, as you know. God says a third of all the trees are going to be burnt up. All the green grass is going to be burnt up. And can you imagine living in a situation like that? Can you just give a little bit of thoughts about the tragedy that's going to happen? Now listen to what he says. And he says, "And the second angel," you talk about a tsunami, "the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." He says there's something going to come out of the sky like a big mountain. He calls it a great mountain. It's not going to be just some little thing. It's going to be a great mountain. I don't know whether it's going to be an asteroid. I don't know whether it's going to be a meteorite. I don't know, but it's going to be burning. And it's going to fall into the sea like a big mountain. I take for granted this probably is the Mediterranean Sea. I can't say that for sure, but I think probably that's what he's talking about. And all of the and that big mass is going to fall into this sea, and you talk about causing a tsunami, It was interesting because they was talking about it here the other day, and they said, well, what can cause them? And they said, well, the earthquake, a 9.2 earthquake that just rattles the ocean floor and just shakes it so violently and it causes that great wave. And he said, or something could be cast into the sea. This was news people saying it. Something could come down into the sea. And here God says it's what's going to happen. There's going to be like a great mountain falling into the sea. And can you imagine what that thing is going to do? Is it's the shores around the Mediterranean Sea, multitudes are going to die from that thing. This is going to happen. Say, oh, well, I won't be here. Folks, that's tragic. That's selfishness. Other folks going to be here. Other folks going to die if we don't get the message of Christ to them. And then he says, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. A third part of them died. And it says, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. I don't know how many ships are going to be in that sea, but he says a third of them is going to go under, go down. It's tragedy that's going to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I wish that people would get off of this little selfishness and all they care about is their own selves and what they're doing and get back to realizing that the work of God is more important than anything else.
Amen.
We've got to get the gospel out.
Amen.
Every day of our life. You do it in barbershops. You do it everywhere. Greg was in the barbershop the other day, right ahead of me, you know, and I was telling our Sunday school class that I had an opportunity just to witness that whole group of people in that barbershop. I think that's where you're supposed to live. I had an opportunity to tell him why I wasn't feared of death. 65 years old, I'm not afraid of death. I don't worry about death. I don't mean that wrong. I'm not just saying that wrong. I'm just saying, you know why? Because I got a place to go. I got a heaven waiting on me, a place prepared in heaven. I have that because God promised me. Now, why in the world would I not want to let people know about that? Come on. Come on, let's spread the gospel. Let's take it wherever we go. Every opportunity that God gives us, let's spread the gospel. See, because I'm going to tell you, the rapture's coming and then it's all over, folks. It's all over. Amen. Oh, it just gets to me. It just gets under my soul sometimes when I think of people are more interested in their own selves and concerned and worried about what they're getting, what they're not getting, and what this baloney. Makes me so mad and sick. It's about Christ. It's about a Son of God who died for us. And we need to get that message out and be the warning system that God called us to be. Amen? Sure. All across, let me just show you over in chapter 9. I've got to show you something. Verse 15, this is the sixth trumpet that was blowing. He said, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the six angels which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Listen to verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Look at verse number 18. For these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. You know what God says? There's going to be another place within the 7-year period where a third, let's just say there's 3 billion people left. I don't know. I'm using numbers easy to work with. Let's see, there's 3 billion people left. A billion of them is going to die right here in this one little section. We ain't seen anything. We have not seen anything. And yet we look around and we just don't find time to do anything for God. I can't make you. I can only be that trumpet that blows and then it's off of my hands. The blood's off of my hands. This church better wake up. And the church is people. We all better just wake up and realize this responsibility is ours, and God holds it to be the warning system that goes out and warns a lost world about Jesus, that hell is real, and that Jesus is the answer to it. And he's the only answer. What I'm just saying to you is there's a tsunami coming that you can't even imagine. I'm not just talking about that one wave. I'm talking about the horrible destruction that's going to come upon the face of this earth during the tribulation period. There isn't a one of us can even imagine it. I've preached through Revelation I don't know how many times in my life, and I read it often just to stir my heart. But I want to tell you, I can't really imagine all that's going to happen. I can't imagine. It just boggles my mind. But I do know this, I can be a part of the answer to the problem. I can be a part of it by preaching the gospel, by warning people. Hopefully I've done a little bit of that this morning. It's not everything needs to be done, but I hope I've done a little bit. Because I'm telling you, it's serious business. Amen. And get off your selfishness. Multitudes are out there dying. Be much better you give your energies to the things of the Lord. Amen. I pray you'll do that. I can't make you. I can't stir your heart this morning. I can't get in your heart and say, you got to do this. I can't do that. Only God can do this. But I want to tell you something. There needs to be people come to this altar and get right with God and say they're going to serve God this year. They're just going to do it the best of their ability. They're just going to be used as God has made them and how his abilities he's given them. And he's going to be used in the places where God has put them to be a warning system to this old world. Because it's coming. Jesus is coming. Believe that from the bottom of my heart. I believe Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Now listen to me. If you're not saved, you're not born again. You say, Brother Ross, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if I died. I've got such good news for you. Amen. Jesus loves you so much. He died on the cross, paid the penalty for your sin. And he's just waiting for you to receive him as personal Savior. And he'll save you and wash you and make you whole, make you a child of God. Amen. Now, he'll do that this morning. We're inviting you to come down this aisle. There'll be people here waiting. Come down this aisle and say, you know what? I'm just not saved. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. And come down here and we'll take the word of God and help you and be a blessing to you. As God's child, God stir your heart this morning. You let him stir your heart this morning. You come in response as we pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and kindness and grace. Once again, we need you, Lord. We need your help, need your power. We need you to convict our hearts and our souls concerning the things, Lord, about what we preached about this morning. We need you to stir us, make sure we're saved, make sure we're born again. And then, Lord, help us to be people who will persuade others to come to Christ and get the message, get the warning out. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.